We're talking about making this year the best year ever. And if we're going to do that, we've got to recognize some things. And one of the things that we have to recognize that I want to talk to you today about is that our God has more than we need. He has more than we need. Now, here's what I want to say on the onsite. Could you do me a favor and just keep an open mind? Okay. And what I'm about to preach to you might be something that you might have been taught something different in the past. All I'm asking is that you stay with me and allow me to show you in the Word that God is a God of provision, and that God is not only called to provide for you, but He will provide more than enough for you. All I'm saying is, let me show it to you in the Word of God. Because there's been even a lot of pushback in against this God of provision. Now, let me say this right up front. I'm not talking about being greedy, and I'm not talking about covetousness. I'll show a scripture in Timothy where Paul writes Timothy, and he says, hey, Timothy, if you have clothes and food, you ought to be content with that. So I'm going to show you that. Having said that, it doesn't change the reality that God wants to provide for His people, and that we have to have a mentality. I'll show it to you in the Word of God. I'll show you in the Word of God how when we start questioning God's ability to provide for us, He takes it personal. He takes it personal. It's not okay with Him. And let me tell you why this is so important. It's so important because, well, let's look at it in James. James chapter 4, and look what this says, verse 2. You lust and you do not have, you murder and you covet and you do not obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you what? You do not have because you do not ask. This asking is a critical component in you receiving. That's what the Bible says. It's interesting. We have got to let the narrative of the Holy Spirit, the insight of the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We can't rewrite scripture according to what we think. And the Bible says that the reason you don't have is because you do not ask. Look at it before and I'll teach you something. You lust and you do not have, you murder, you lust. We always think of lust as you know, some kind of sexual thing, and it can be that. But lusting, in this case, he's talking about lusting for what you don't have, your covetousness. You want what you don't have. And so what he's saying is what you do is you start to finagle, you start to figure it out, you start to manipulate. You start to get in fights and you're warring. What's going on here? What's he talking about? You lust and you don't have, you murder, you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight and you're warring. What is he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. You trying to get what you want by your means. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what I want you to do. What I want you to do, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What I want you to do is I want you to start asking God, watch this, and not just asking God, but asking God with an attitude that God has more than enough to not only provide to you, but that He's going to provide an abundance to you. I'll show you in the Word why He wants you to have an abundance. But you start asking in faith, believing for supernatural things, and stop just figuring that out on yourself. That's a whole part of the first part. I mean, you know, sometimes we read stuff, it's like, oh, I don't even know what he's saying, but, you know, go on. No, that's what he's saying. You're getting into all this junk trying to figure it out yourself instead of going to a super, but here's why, because you can't figure it out yourself. You can't do it yourself. You don't have the resources. So why don't you relax, stop trying to figure it out yourself, start to ask God, and God, who's supernatural, will supply your needs supernaturally. Amen. Come on, how many need? Hear what I'm saying? Supernaturally. Mark chapter 10, verse 51, 52. Look at this. Look at this. These are all, again, let me teach you the word of God. What God says about this. It is so important that we start to expect big things from God. Not, listen, we need to get the limitations off our, I'm going to show you how God hates when his people are limiting him. Because why? Because he's limitless. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man. Who says this? The blind man. Look what the blind man says. This is so awesome. The blind man said, Rabbi, that Rabbi. That's because they were real close. He's like, hey, Rabbi. He says that I might receive what? My sight. I mean, God's like, dude, this is awesome. Why? Here's why. Because he's asking for something that there's no way he can get it by his own figuring out. And God loves it because he's asking for something supernatural. Go to this next verse. Matthew verse 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Look what it says. And behold, a leopard. Blind man, leopard. See, these are things that you can't, you know what, figure out yourself. Behold, a leopard came to him, worshiping him, saying, Lord, if it's your will, you can make me clean. Notice here, what is Matthew call someone who's going to go to God asking something supernaturally? What does he call it? No? Look at it. The answer's up there. What does he call it? What does he call it? No. What does he call it? He calls it worship. Can I tell you, when you go to God and say, God, I'm believing, you know what, that we are going to be able to raise $400,000. What does he call that? He calls it worship. When you start to go to God and start asking him for things that are beyond what you can do, but you recognize, listen to me, that it isn't beyond what God can do. Yeah. He says, I love that. You know what you're doing? You're worshiping me. This guy can't do it himself. But what's this? But he's not going to limit God.
That's right.
He's gonna say, no. With God, all things are possible. But so what am I going to do? What did the blind man did? He asked God. Oh, I forgot. Go back to the blind man. Guys, quickly, go back to the blind man. Look what Jesus says about the blind man. Behold, and Jesus answered and said, what do you want me to do for you? Bah. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Now, listen, again, it's interesting because there's words in the Bible and we want to change the narrative of the Holy Spirit. You cannot change the narrative of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but I learned something else in Bible school. Yeah, I learned something else from my old pastor. Yeah, I learned something else in seminary. It doesn't make any difference. You can't change the narrative of the Holy Spirit. Let God teach you, amen? And let God teach me. Let the Word of God teach us what is truth and what is not truth. Look what it says. And Jesus said to him, go your way, directed by the Holy Spirit, narrative of the Holy Spirit. How did this happen? Your faith has made you well. Watch this. It's the same narrative that the Holy Spirit says, you know, and in James, you have not because you ask not. What's the reciprocal? You have because you ask. That's what Jesus is saying. Let me tell you why this happened. It happened because you were willing to believe me in the supernatural, that which is not able to, nobody else could do this. You didn't tell me I couldn't do it. You said I could do it. And so you know why that happened? Because you are putting your trust in me. That's the narrative of the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. All right, now go back to the leopard. And behold, the leper came and worshiping, saying, Lord, if you be willing, you make me clean. Here's what I want you to catch on here. Look at the will of God. What does he say? What's the next verse? What does he say? What is Jesus' response? And Jesus putting his hands and touching him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Nice. I am willing, God says. You're starting to believe for supernatural, big, incredible things that God has put in your heart to believe for. Things that you couldn't do by yourself. I like what John Maxwell says. He says, if you can accomplish your dream is too little. If you can accomplish your dream by yourself, your dream is too little. Look at what it says in 1 John. Look, go to 1 John. No. 1 John? Yeah. No. I'll go there later. Let's go to your first point, my first point. You must understand God has more than we need. You must understand this. Listen, God has... Somebody help me preach this. You need to understand God has
more
than you need. Why is that so important? Well, here's why. Because if we understand that there's something that takes place on this earth as we ask, we are here on this earth. We are, God says to us, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We are his ambassadors. We are on this earth. We are the ones who have the authority on this earth. I'll show you that in another passage. And so God asks us to ask him. So, your asking will be limited to what you think somebody can do for you. Here, let me prove it to you. Let's say I forget my wallet at home. And let's say I'm going home with my wife. We want to chill out. We haven't had breakfast. We want to go to Tommy's and grab a Tommy's burger before we go home. Okay? I know none of you can relate. Okay? But that's what we want to do. But I look and go, oh, I don't have my wallet. My wife's, oh, I don't have my purse. So what do? I go to Isaac. Okay. I say, hey, Isaac, you know what? Do you got a $20 bill? I need to borrow $20. Okay. Because I don't want to go all the way home, come back. Can you loan me $20? I'll give it back to you on Wednesday. Okay. That makes sense, right? Good friend of mine. I know. How many know he's probably has $20 to loan me, right? So watch this. I'm going to ask him based on what I think he can do. But how many know I'm never going to go up to Isaac Jr.? You know what I mean? Come on, Jr. Hey, Isaac, I really liked how you did that dancing thing. That was awesome. You got all excited, jumped. I like that. Hey, you got 20 bucks I can borrow till... How many know little Isaac ain't going to reach down in his pocket and whip out, you know what, a bunch of money and, you know, how much you want, Pastor? You want 20? You want 40? You know what I mean? How many know Isaac not going to do that? Watch this. And see, that's what, listen, this is really an important part that we need to understand, because here's what we do. We don't have because we don't ask, and we don't ask because in our minds we've limited God in what he can do. Listen to me. And this is completely unbiblical. This is not who God has shown us to be. So what we have to do is we have to recognize, no, we serve a big God who not only can provide for us, but can provide for us more than we need. Amen. Watch this. John chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. So when they were filled, somebody say filled. How many look forward to going to eat and getting filled? I mean, like when you're done here, you're like, ah, oh, that was so good. Okay. That's what they ate, and they were what? Filled. They were filled. Who are they? All these thousands and thousands and thousands of people God feeds. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples. Now notice what he says. Now this is directive. It's very important. How many know God does everything on purpose? He's going to say, okay, here's what I want to do. I want, watch this, gather up all the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Next verse, look what it says. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Somebody say abundance. Abundance. What's abundance? Abundance is not enough. Abundance is enough and then more than enough. Now, this is really critical because this abundance, watch this, is for a purpose. But until we recognize that God has abundance for us, we just ask and sometimes barely ask and many times don't ask at all. And God says, no, that's not okay. My second point, this is a really important point. Second point, we must understand that God is not okay when we think he can't. We must understand that God is not okay when we think he can't. We won't even ask because we've already convinced ourselves in his mind, in our minds, that, you know what, $400,000 is too much money. Whatever the limitations is for you. You know what? And so what you do is you fight and you war and you covet and you do all this stuff. You manipulate and you try to figure out yourself. But God can't do that. God takes it personal. He does not appreciate you or me limiting him in what he can do. What he appreciates is just the opposite. When somebody says, you don't even have to go over to my house. Just speak a word. God says, like, that is what I'm looking for. Amen. Amen, can I show it to you? Look in Numbers chapter 11. And let's start with verse 18. Look at this. Then you say to the people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. What were they like? Man, we want to eat meat. You're going to eat meat, Jackson. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord. We're going to talk about that saying. Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Why is God angry? Here's why. He's angry because the people are saying to God, when we were in Egypt, we were taken care of. But when we're out here, we get no meat. In other words, what they're saying is the world system can take care of us more than God's system. Now, before you say amen to that too much, recognize what we do sometimes. Sometimes by not asking God for supernatural things and taking care of ourselves, we say the same thing. God, you really can't take care. God, you really can't send me the prince. I'm going to go to the honky-tonk and find the prince myself. Okay? And you go to the honky-tonk, and there ain't no princes at the honky-tonk. Amen? Amen? Or the honky-tonk comes to you. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. You know what? You know how many people, yeah, I'm just saying, you know how many singles won't ask me or my wife anything of what we think with their person they're dating? Wow. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Well, it ain't none of your business, Pastor, who I'm dating. Okay, Jackson. Listen, You don't have to get my approval to who you're dating. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know what, ladies, maybe you have a blind spot that you ought to check and ask somebody else what their opinion is. I think I hear one amen over there. Okay? Listen, we're not, Tamara and I ain't here to micromanage you. We're not, really. But sometimes perspective is a wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. And so, you know what? What we're saying when we do this, and we try to, and we do it with dating, we do this with all kinds of situations in our life. We say, no, I'm going to figure it out ourselves. And that's what they were doing. They're saying, no, no, no. God, you're here, but Egypt is here. And we do the same thing. I say, no, 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 I can't ask. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out myself. And God says, no, no, no. It's not okay when you think that God can't. It's not okay. Watch this. Watch this. I love God's response. Look at this. Next verse. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat and you're going to eat it. Now, I'm not making this up. Catch God's attitude. How many know God can catch an attitude sometimes? Watch this. This is so good. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days. Are you catching the attitude? Nor 20 days. Watch this. Watch this next verse. But for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have what? See, listen. It's so interesting. All eyes up here. It's so interesting. We act like this sin is no big deal. And matter of fact, theologically, there's a whole group of the church that has said, you know what, that this is wrong to expect that God would provide for you and that God would provide an abundance for you. No, 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 no. It's not wrong to do that. It is wrong to be greedy, and it is wrong to be selfish, and it is wrong. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. It is wrong. You know what? If God is, it's wrong to covet. But I can expect all kinds of things from God and not be covetous. Amen. Does that make sense? See, I don't have to be jealous of the pastor down the street who's got 1,000 people in his church. I can love the 350 that God has called here today. Does that make sense? And don't tell that pastor or any of those 1,000 people, but y'all are better than all those people put together. Anyway. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, okay? Okay, yeah, we need to edit that part, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But here's what I'm saying. But I can love the 350 people that God has called here and still understand my calling and our calling to minister to 1,000 plus. Does that make sense? See, I don't have to be covetous to want more in my life. And I get in trouble when I don't, watch this, when I don't expect for more, not, when I start to think that God can't. Yeah. Do you see? It's because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did you ever come out of Egypt? We had it better in Egypt. God, you know what? The Egyptians took care of us better than you're taking care of us. You're don't ever look back to the bad old days when you used to, you know what, smoke, you know, reefer.
Oh, there he is. That's right.
What's Pastor talking about? Okay. Do you understand? No. Don't look back at those days with No. These are the good old days. Yes. Amen. Can somebody confess these are the good old days? Watch this. Watch this. Next verse. Look what he says. And Moses said. Now look what Moses says. Because Moses got a play in all this too that God doesn't appreciate. Watch this. And Moses said, the people who I am among. Look at Moses' mentality. And Moses says, Moses is going to chime in here. The people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. 600,000 men. And you know what? You committed to take care of, you know, to feed the women and the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's he saying? He's saying, God, that's exactly what he's saying. That is a slew load of people, God. Yet you have said, I will give you meat. I don't understand. There's all these people, and yet you've said, watch what he says, you know, that they might eat for a whole month. A whole month you've committed to them. A 600,000 men. Watch this. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish in the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? God, what's he saying? He's, God, do you know how much meat it's going to take to provide for them for a whole month? Now, how many know? How many, go like this, go, Moses, you shouldn't talk that way. Come on, give me some attitude. Let's chastise Moses for a minute. Moses, really? Come on, somebody help me out. Moses,
really?
Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor just set us up. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. No. Not Moses, really. You, really. Because how many times has God put something in your heart, maybe, I don't know what it is, something in your heart to give, to be gracious, to be, you know what, to do something that you just think, there's no way I can do that. And yet, God did put it in your heart. And what are you doing? You're limiting the abundance of God. Amen. You know how many married people have come to Tamara and I and say, hey, unmarried people, you know? And listen, we don't have litmus tests on the wall. We don't say, hey, if you're smoking dope or, you know what, or drinking too much or sexing up, don't come in here because this is only for holy people. Whoa. How many know you're not going to find any sign there? You know what I mean? Amen. No. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I didn't come for the well people. I came from the sick people. Amen. How many in the church should I be for the sick people? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, you might be sick a little bit. No, you know, but here's what I'm saying. No, we don't have no litmus test. But how many know there's something that happens as you come and you hear the word of God and hear the word of God, hear the word of God, and hear the word of God. We have married so many people right in my office. What are they doing? They're living together. You know what I mean? I didn't stand at there. Get out of here. You living in sin. Get out of here. No. Come in. God changes you from the inside out. Amen. You know, you want to get all cleaned up and then come to church? You ain't never going to come to church. Does that make sense? You're never going to come to church. No, just the opposite. Come as you are. Come all dirty and let the word of God wash you and change how you think. Does that make sense? You know what? And what do we do? And listen, and some of those people are, you know what, say, you know what, they'll, and I don't ask, they just, you know what, but you know, Pastor, you know what, financially, you know what, this is happening. I don't know all the details, but we're giving government assistance here and there, and it's just better for us not to get married. Wow. Can I tell you what? Listen, you think God can't take care of that extra $300 that you're making a month in your little thing going on? Hey, can we be real with somebody? No, God can take care of that. Don't limit God in what he can do. You know what? What if you just, here, it's always right to do the right thing. Always right to do the right thing. Here, and I'll put one more on there. And you'll always benefit from doing the right thing. You will always benefit from the right thing. We've never had a couple yet. Never, never, never. And we've been doing this for egads. How long have we been doing this? For 20 years. We never had a couple come back and go, man, Pastor, you know what? We are jacked up. When you married us, man, you just, I mean, just awful now. Never. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord, watch what he says to Moses. Moses is like, man, there's so many people, food for a month. Are you kidding me? Look what he says to Moses. You know, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Wow. Hey, Moses, weren't you around when I delivered all these people? Weren't you around when I told you to tell the people to ask for the gold and the silver and they left Egypt with all the gold and the silver? Wasn't that you who were there? What happened? Do you think my arm got shorter? Oh, man. See, can I tell you what? Look at my second point again. We must understand it's not okay with God when we say he can't. It's not okay with God. Go back to the verse. Nor you shall see, now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. Hey, Moses, you think I can't do this? Let me tell you what. I'm going to show it to you. What does God do? God changes the wind. How many of God is a supernatural God? The apostles are tripping out. Because Jesus stands up and speaks to the, he says to the wind, be still. And the wind stayed still. And the apostles are like, oh my goodness. The apostles are tripping out. Did you see that? Even the wind follows his advice. How many know he can tell the wind to stop and he can tell the wind to blow? And he tells the wind to blow. And the Bible says that all around the camp, this quail came and they were two cubits high. They barely had to even reach for this quail. For a month, God just blessed them and blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. And he tells Moses, hey, Moses, I'm going to show it to you. Why? Because he doesn't appreciate us not believing him. He doesn't appreciate thinking that he is limited. Can I tell you what kind of God we serve? We serve an unlimited God. Hey, how many know we understand this in worship? Yeah. Can somebody help me out? Yeah. Can somebody help me out? Our God is what? Greater. What is he? Greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. What? You didn't know I could sing that good, did you? Then watch this. Then we go outside and we finish the verse. But he can't do nothing for me. But inside we're like, oh, God is done. Good. What do you think your God is stronger for? What do you think he's greater for? If God is for us, then we, he can never stop us. And if God is with us, then what can stand again? Hey, well, you're singing good inside. Can we sing good outside? Can we sing like this on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? When you know what, your girlfriend, man, I tell you what, he ain't that good, but you know what, I'll tell you what, you're 38. I'll take anyone at this point. You know, you don't got to be so picky. Start singing again. Amen. Amen? Amen? See, there's all kinds of things that come in your life, but God says this, why are you limiting me in what I want to do for your life? So you have me limited, and you're not even asking me anymore because you've already figured out that I can't do it. And God takes that personally. He does not appreciate it. Are you learning something? Number three, we must understand God's willing to give us more than we need. Yeah. We must understand why is God willing to give us more than we need. You know why he wants to give you more than you need? Because he wants the overflow to happen to other people. Do you understand this? And I'm not just talking about finances. This is every area in your life. There ought to be an overflow of joy in your life. When you go into work, you ought to be like, you know what? You ought to be happy. Amen. There needs to be overflow. Why? Because all those frumpy people need some overflow of joy. God wants to bless you in order. You know why he blessed Israel? He blessed Israel that through them everyone would be blessed. That's the same reason why he wants to bless you. You've got to believe that God is not a God just to provide for you enough, but that there is this overflow that you would provide for other people. That's what I did in Albertsons. I go into Albertsons and there's not an overflow of joy. Why? Because these people are deficient in joy. Anybody work in that a place like that? And you have to provide for that. So you come in. God has blessed you in order to be a blessing to others. So I would grab the mic and I would say, hey, just you know what? Man, it's a good day today at the low price leader. You know what? I don't know if you noticed, but if you're on aisle 4, you know what? Go to aisle 4, you'll trip out. Pepsi is 69 cents for a 2-liter. Do you hear me? 69 cents for a 2-liter. Are you kidding? I don't know what you're doing, but if I were you, I would go to aisle 4 and I would pick up some Pepsi. Amen? And what am I going to do before I leave? I'm picking up some Pepsi myself. Pastor, you do that all the time. I do that. You know what? What am I doing? What am I doing? You're selling Pepsi. That's what you're doing. No, no, no. No, no, no. That's what people think I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing. I'm overflowing joy of Jesus Christ. I mean, nobody else is doing that kind of advertisement. How come you did? Did somebody ask you to? Nobody asked me to do it. And at first, I was like, I don't know if they're into this. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I had a couple of night managers say, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But guess what? After a while, you know what? I'd have the main manager call me and say, hey, Drew, you know, Drew Intercom. And I get on the intercom. They say, hey, can you do some of those goofy announcements today? Amen. Amen. What's going on? An abundance of joy. We're not selling 2-liter Pepsis. Well, I probably sold a lot of 2-liter Pepsis. But I did. It's way more than that, guys. Amen? Are you learning something? Number 4. We must understand our part seeing his glory manifested on this earth. We must understand. Overflow, it was just my example. Overflow is this understanding of manifesting his glory on this earth. There's got to be an overflow. You can't just believe God for you. You got to believe for God for more than you. Does that make sense? When God wants you to know how strong he is. And when you know how strong he is, he loves it. When I was little, this happened hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And my dad would get on the ground, he'd put his hands out like this, and he'd say, get on my chest. And I'd get on my chest, and with my arms, I would hold my dad down. And he'd say, are you ready? I'd be like, yeah, I'm ready. He said, no, are you really ready? I said, Dad, I'm ready. And then it'd say, 1, 2, 3. And when he counted to 3, he would, and he'd stand up and lift me right up and, you know, hug me and we'd laugh. What is he doing? He's wanting me to know how strong he is. Why are you here today? Here's why you're here today. Because God wants you to know how strong he is. And what he wants is he wants you to take these limitations off his power. Because until you do, you start restricting what you ask. When we had this beautiful grass area, beautiful trees, beautiful. But you know what? We had no place for people to sit. And we had no lampposts. So we got some, we figured out how much some benches would cost. And then we needed to get more concrete, more area to put the benches. And then we needed to get some pots and some, you know, make it nice and get some plants. Well, by the time we added all that up, it was like over $10,000. How many know this stuff costs a lot of money?
Yeah.
And we are like, $10,000? Now, let me go back in time a little bit. We had the chairs that you're sitting in, we had tried to raise money for those chairs. And when we tried to raise money for those chairs, and I asked week after week after week, we had a lot less people here, but we asked week after week, and pretty soon we had raised, not pretty soon, pretty long, took us a long time, we raised $400. And how many know $400, these chairs cost, all the chairs that we have cost about $20,000. How many know $400 at about $60 a chair, I bought 6 chairs. Okay, so you all can sit down, everybody else stand up, okay? But watch this. How many know sometimes, you know what? What I should have done is say, hey, 4-6 people sitting down, that's a good start. Amen? And the truth is, because we kept on believing for a supernatural God, there was a day, and you know the story, Tamara asked another pastor, small church, if he'd like to donate for the chairs. He said, no, we're not interested. But he connects us with an organization. Watch this. And in 2 months, less than 2 months, we had enough money for all the chairs. Can you say amen? Watch this. But, that same organization bought us the church van and put a new roof on the North Sanctuary and invested about $15,000 in the South Sanctuary and has invested about $20,000 for the outdoor project. Can somebody say amen? So Pastor, what is your point? Here's my point. Sometimes the road to recovery starts with one step. And when those 6 chairs were purchased, they weren't purchased, but the money for those chairs we had, we needed to say thank you, Jesus, for what he's doing in your life. Yes. See, there's things in your life, and God has just started to do it. Amen. Now is not the time to give up on God. Now is the time to move forward and say, well, praise God. God started it. But watch this. Look what God has done because Tamara and I were willing not to give up on his plan.
That's right.
But many times what we do is we base how we see our heavenly Father based on what we see our earthly Father. I know what I'm talking about. And so you have years and years and years and years and years of lack, and it can be difficult for you to believe for a God that has no lack. When I was a kid, and I didn't recognize this because I started until I started preaching it, and you've heard my stories. You know what? It was years and years. You know, we'd go to Marie Callender's, and Tamara would say, why don't you order pot pie? They are so delicious. I'm like, pot pie? I hate pot pies. See, I thought all pot pies were evil pot pies. Tasted nasty. They were cheap. I hate pot pies. I don't know what happened. I was in a weird mood, or Tamara gave me a bottle of her pot pie over at Marie Callender's. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, I hardly go to Marie Callender's that I don't order a pot pie. They're so delicious. Well, what happened? What happened was when I was raised, my mom. Why? Because I think at that time they were 13 cents. 13 cents for a Swanson pot pie. And so once a week, this is a true story, once a week, guess what we would eat? It was Popeye Monday or whatever it was. And it was Starve Monday is what it was for me. Because even if I could eat one pot pie, I didn't want two pot pies. You know, it'd take about 10 of those to fill you up. You know what I mean? But I didn't want to get filled. You know, you talk about a good diet plan. Just go to the store and buy Swanson pot pies. You know what? Listen, you'll lose a lot of weight just because they're awful. Amen? Why do you say that? Because I didn't recognize, watch this, I didn't recognize, you know what, the limitations that were going on in my family. But you start to internalize that, and you start to think that that's how God is. That is not how God is. My again, once a week, my mom would buy this round steak. You know what? You know what's good for round steak? Throw it around the dogs, because that's what you should do with that round steak. It is not made for human consumption. So, Pastor, how do you know that? Because she would get this thing out. It was called a meat tenderizer. Some of you young people don't even know what this is. You know what it is? It's a mallet with bumps in it. And you just beat, what you try to do is you try to beat the hardness out of the round steak. But it still tastes awful. My mom would try to fake us out by putting this lemon juice on it. Mom, what are you doing? Even the pot pies are better than this. Why do I say that? Because, you know what? You've got to recognize your heavenly Father isn't like your earthly father. He's completely different. Now, we're going to look at one more passage of scripture, and then we're going to go home. Okay, then we're going to go over to Tommy's. Amen. Or if you want me to pay for lunch, we can go to Chick-fil-A. Amen. I tell you, I will buy all you can eat Chick-fil-A today for anybody who wants to meet me over there. I saw this, never seen it before. You know what? I don't know if you've seen this passage, but it is an amazing passage. It's found in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 13. And he left them, and getting into the boat, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take the bread. If you read right before this, Jesus multiplies the bread. They've got baskets and baskets and baskets of leftover what?
Bread.
Okay. And they, what did they do? Bible says, the Bible didn't say they didn't have bread. It says they what? They forgot to take the bread. They had the bread. They forgot to take the bread. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Like, hey, Brian, you forgot the bread. Not Brian. Hey, Thomas, you forgot the bread. Well, we got a loaf in the back. Yeah, but it's only one. It's moldy anyway. You know, it's like, so they're trying to figure out, watch this. They're trying to figure out how much each one is going to get, because they only have how much?
One
loaf. They had plenty of bread, but they forgot the bread. They're trying to figure this out. Look at this. Next verse. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Next verse. And they reasoned among themselves, is it because we have no bread? Next verse. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, watch this. Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive and understand? Is your heart still hard? Keep it here. Is your heart still hardened? God has shown them. Do you know this? When God fed the 5,000, do you know there was basket after basket after basket of overflow? Do you know when he fed the 4,000 what there was? Basket after basket after basket of overflow. Is God trying to speak to us something? And God gets on. God is chastising them and correcting them. Here's why. Because they don't he doesn't understand how they can be on this boat with one loaf of bread and they're sweating that they only have one loaf. Why? Because God is the provider. See, we don't ever have to sweat. See, the Bible says that God will provide for us abundantly beyond what we what? What we what? What we what? What we ask or think. So you have not because you what? Ask not. God will meet your needs. Watch this. He'll meet your needs according to what? According to what? According to whose? His. See, he's like, guys, what, don't you get it? It's not about whether we have enough or not enough. I am enough. I will provide for you. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Can I tell you this? Listen to me, church. When we start to think that God doesn't have enough for us, you know what it is? You know what it's indication of? Your heart is getting hard. You're starting to get away from God in dependency on him, and you're starting to think that you're going to do it yourself. And God calls it what it is. He says, you know what that is? That's a hardened heart. Watch this. Next verse. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not, and do you not remember? Remember what? Look at the next verse. Do you not remember what? That I broke five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? Guys, how many? Don't you remember? How many did I take up? What does he want them to recognize? He wants them to recognize that they were filled, but there was an abundance. It's not okay to just think that God is going to provide for you. God is not looking just to provide for you. He's looking to provide for you and provide more than enough. That's who he is. And as these apostles are freaking out because they only have one loaf, God is going to have a coaching moment and say, guys, what is your problem? Don't you understand? You were there. You saw it. All right. Let me help you. How many? When I broke the five loaves and 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said 12. Watch this. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said 7. He said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Now, I'm going to close up with this. But let me ask this side. How many of you have seen God take care of you supernaturally over and over and over and over again? This section, how many? Raise your hand. That's you. Okay. How many in this section have you seen God take care of you supernaturally over and over and over again? How many in this section have seen God take care of you over and over and over? Here's a question for all of us. And he said to them, and he's saying to us, how is it that we don't understand? See, watch this. How is it that when we were expecting $10,000 to build the outdoor, to build the park out there. You know what? I stood in the front row, and I used to think this. There's no way it's going to take us forever to raise $10,000. Tasha, you said that? Oh, I thought that all the time. You know what? And Chanel would say, "Hey, we got this." Yeah. And I used to think, And then it went from, that thermometer went from 1,000 to 2,000 to 5,000. And it didn't take very long that we had $10,000 and we built that part. Watch this. How is it that your pastor couldn't believe for $10,000? But when God spoke to me and said, we're going to be over this in this south sanctuary, we're going to build a whole sanctuary, and it's going to cost us about $120,000. And by the time we were done, it cost us about $160,000. How is it that I couldn't believe for $10,000, but I could believe for $160,000? Here, this is deep. What's more, $10,000 or $160,000? Okay. How is it that I couldn't believe for $10,000, but I could believe for $160,000? I started to recognize that the God that I serve is not a God of enough, but the God I serve is God of more than enough. And I started recognizing. We went down to the design center, and we were talking about this outdoor design. Guys, show it to us. And here's what happened. This true story, and I'll end with this. True story. We went down, Brian and his wife, Auntie Norma, she was here in the first service, Tamara, Pastor Vegas. No, show me the new one. And I forget who else. And we were talking about different designs. And they said, what about a steel design? And I thought, oh, you know, that's, and I thought of these funky barns. You ever see these barns? They're made out of steel. They're like, eh. I thought, no, I didn't want that. But he showed us something like this that they had designed. I was like, man, I like that. True story. You listen to the story? So here's what the architect said. Older man, real smart guy. Here's what he says. So we're like, I'm like, you know, of course, I want to know how much. That's beautiful. How much? And he was like, I don't know, something like that, you know, probably cost about $350,000. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. So here's what he said. He said, well, you know what? We could build it this size, or we could build it a little bit smaller and save you a lot of money, or we could reduce it even just a little bit more and save you this money. So we had, it was pretty big, even the small one, but we had a smaller one, a medium-sized one, and a large one. And I said, and I was thinking, why would we do that? And here's what he said. He said, Pastor, I can take you to the back of this office, and I can show you design after design after design after design after design after design after design of these awesome things that never took place because the churches couldn't fund it. So what did we do? So we decided to scale it back a little bit. We wouldn't take the small one, we'd take the medium one, okay? And I went home. Well, when I was at home, the Holy Spirit kept on speaking to me and saying, you know what? You're gonna get out there, you will build this, and you're gonna get out there, and you're gonna look at the sides, and you're gonna go, man, I wish it was 10 feet farther this way. And you're going to go to the other side, you're going to say, I wish it was 10 feet farther that way. You're going to go to the front and say, I wish it was 20 feet farther this way, and I wish it was 10 feet farther this way. Pastor, what did you do? I called the guy back, and I said, hey, remember the larger one? We're going to take that one. Why? Here's why. Because I don't serve a God of enough. I serve a God that provides a surplus for us. But God's part in my part is he asked me to believe in that surplus and to have faith to trust him. And so that's what we did. And I threw that at you and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And yada, yada, boom, 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 boom. And guess what? And you see the manifestation of that today. And next week, you're going to see more manifestation. You know what I mean? And the third week, you're going to see more. And the fourth week, you're going to see more. And the fifth week, you're going to see more. And the sixth week, you're going to see more. And the seventh week, you're going to be out there sitting in tables eating tacos with me. Amen? But it's really not about, it's really not, I mean, completely about us. You know what? It's about what is God speaking to you. What is God asking you to believe for? What is God asking you to put your trust back in a limitless God? With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you'd like to accept Jesus in your heart, now is the time. I just want you to slip your hand up. I'm going to pray a prayer with you in a minute. I see one hand in the back. Who else? Is there anyone else? I see another hand. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Can we pray this? Say, Father,
Father,
come into our hearts.
Come into my heart.
Jesus, change me from the inside out. I make you my Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus and covering all of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, one more thing. If you feel like you've put the limits on God in some way, maybe a lot, maybe a little. But how many know even a little, God doesn't want that? I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Who else? All over the room. Father, help us. Like that guy said, Father, help our unbelief. And help us with our unbelief. Help us to take the limits off of you. Help us to believe for the supernatural in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.